I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
It is one of the weakest days in sports. I do not look forward to this specific day every year because we have no major sports going on outside of the WNBA. I guess if the NBA Summer League is still something that you're interested in, you have that. But one more day of no baseball, and then tomorrow we can get back into the second half of the season, and that's what we are going to focus on with a little All-Star game mixed in. And to have that conversation with us, we have a great friend of mine, a great friend of the show, Steve Bortstein, joining us right now over the phone. Steve, it is always a pleasure to get you on as we prepare for that second and final part of the Major League Baseball regular season.
It's funny, when I used to do a show back here in New Mexico on this particular day, this little stretch of time, we would do like weird gimmick things, like, you know, worst song parody ever thing. We would do like, because there was no sports, right? There was nothing going on. Like, I think one year we got lucky where it fell in the calendar that, you know, it's this year too, where you've got the British Open starts today, I think. So it's like you used to have that. But other than that, like, there's nothing going on. And I dreaded in radio, being in radio, I dreaded this particular three-day stretch because other than the All-Star game, and you need a headline to get you through the All-Star game coverage on a radio show, there's nothing to talk about. Summer League basketball is the worst. The WNBA, unless you suddenly find yourself immersed in the controversy of Caitlin versus Angel, you just don't care. So it's a rough stretch. I get it.
Yes, but that's why we have you, right? I feel like every year, I'm fairly certain on this too. I would have to go back and look, but at least over the last 10 years, every year during this stretch, you and I have been on either on your radio show or my radio show. We've done this every year for well over a decade. I'm certain of it.
You say it's a fine tradition, like a well-aged wine. Yes,
Steve. We were talking about the Major League Baseball All-Star Game off of the cuff, and you were a lot like me the other night. So we go into the extra innings or the tiebreaker, and we get three players from each team in a hit-off to determine the winner of the All-Star Game. Different, it's exciting. And my take on it was, okay, look, 2002, we had the All-Star Game that ended in a tie. Bud Selig looked like an idiot when he was calling it off, and he took a lot of criticism. And then baseball had to bring the gimmick. Home field advantage in the World Series was going to be determined by the All-Star Game. They tried to save base there. I understand why we can't have 10, 11 innings, especially when you try to get every single player on the roster in. I get it. I did not understand the selection for the home run or the hit-off competition at the end. It was surprising to me that it didn't feature Aaron Judge. It didn't feature Shohei Ohtani. We later find out that when the major stars who were voted into this game by the fans are taken out, they leave the game. They get out of uniform and they go home. And I think when we look at that from a fan event, because that's what the All-Star Game is. It's a fan event. It's voted on by the fans. It's not a good look for Major League Baseball. It's really not.
No, it's not. And, you know, I have an issue with that, which we'll get more into. My bigger issue is Kyle Schwarber, during the game itself, the actual nine innings of gameplay, was 0-for-2 with a walk. Okay? He goes up in the extra swing-off, whatever they call it, which sounds like the name of a bad, dirty movie, if you ask me, but whatever. He goes out there and goes 3-for-3 to put the National League ahead. They win the All-Star game on a swing-off 4-3 following the 6-6 tie. Okay, that's fine. Schwarber was taking batting practice pitching from, God bless him, Dodgers third base coach Dino Ebel. And it was batting practice throws. This was like, if you were throwing me a baseball, granted, I'd still swing and miss at everything, but that's what it looked like. It looked like you and me playing catch in our backyard somewhere, and Schwarber just tees off on three softball pitches that go over the fence, and Schwarber's named the MVP. How? If you're gonna make Schwarber the MVP, you might as well give Dino Evil a car too for throwing three softballs up there that Schwarber could tee off on. Like, you can't make that guy the MVP for teeing up on batting practice pitches. That's what he does. That's what he's supposed to do. I want to get the guy who, you know, contributed to why the game ended a 6-6 tie. If you want to make anyone, you know, the MVP of the series, make it the guy who hit the home run, make it Rooker who hit the three-run shot in the seventh inning to bring the American League back into the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely do. As far as All-Star Game MVPs go, whatever, right? I understand exactly what you're saying, because this specific tiebreaker does not account for anything in the game. Major League Baseball has recorded this All-Star Game as a final score of 6-6. So Schwarber was awarded the MVP for something that really isn't even on record. Like, when we look back in 25 years, it's not going to show up in the box score. So I get what you're saying. I guess it was an exciting moment, and that's why they decided to give it to him, I guess,
but it doesn't show, like you said, it doesn't show up in the box score. 50 years from now, people are going to look at it and go, oh, 6-6 tie, second tie in All-Star Game history. Cool. Let me move on. No one's going to know that this was the end result of it. So that bothers me. But to your point, what bothered me more was when Dave Roberts and Aaron Boone come out to announce the three guys that were going to hit home runs in this swing-off, we didn't get a chance to see Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani. Because all year long, Major League Baseball, Fox Television, ESPN, everyone in the world is blowing up your phones and you're telling your Facebooks and your social medias with the greatest two players of all time. You put those two as the anchors in your swing off. First you get Ohtani, then you get Judge. Let's have it out. Let's see who wins the All-Star Game this way. Because, honestly, to have it decided, and no offense to Kyle Schwarber, who's an extremely good, talented baseball player on a very good baseball team in the first place National League East, Philadelphia Phillies, but we don't talk about Schwarber as much as we talk in the national world sense about Ohtani and Judge. I mean, that would have been enormous for Major League Baseball. And it's a bad look when you show the dugouts of the National League and the American League, and neither one of those guys are even there in the dugouts to celebrate this. When Ohtani is already gone, like, how do you sell that? How do you promote that? Because the best player in Major League Baseball, and God bless him, but it wasn't like he was on a flight. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he was on a flight, what, to Los Angeles for the ESPY Awards?
Yeah, it's one of those deals where yesterday here on the show, I praised the All-Star Game because it is the most competitive. It is the most entertaining out of the four major sports that we celebrate All-Star Weekend, or week or weekend, however you want to phrase it. It is the most compelling, and I think it is the best game, and I think we saw that. However, knowing now that these guys are not even in the dugout, guys that were voted on by the fans for a fan event, that bugs me. I'd be lying if I said it didn't.
No, I get it. And, you know, maybe, and apparently, like, I was reading some people's comments on social media, which I don't know why I was doing that, but I was bored, I guess, whatever. But apparently players have been doing that for a while.
For a long time, yeah.
Who are in the first or second inning, apparently some of them do leave. Okay, that's fine. Some of them do leave. Some of them are not named Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani.
I even have a problem with those that have left in years past. We didn't know about it. But again, what are you going to go do? You know what I mean? Sit in the dugout and watch an All-Star game. It's supposed to be for the fans. That's what bothers me most. If this was something that was put on by Rob Manfred and it was mandated by Major League Baseball, they did not include that. But this whole weekend is geared towards the fans, right? Am I wrong? Am I off base on this? It's not like the in-season tournament of the NBA is what I'm saying, right? Adam Silver came up with the stupid idea in the middle of the regular season to put teams in Vegas. It's not like it's that. Okay, this is for the fans. It's supposed to be fan appreciation. And when you look at the tickets, the price of tickets to get into the All-Star game, my God, the least you can do is sit in the dugout and watch nine innings of baseball.
Yeah, that's the no-brainer of all of this. Like, the least you can do is be there for the duration of the game. Now, in some players' cases, maybe they should have gone home early so that Kettle Marte doesn't get his house broken into. Maybe in that instance, I would have forgiven it. But other than that, like, it does seem a bit disingenuous. If you're going to make this event about the fans and you're going to do promos about how much we love the fans and how much we love the interaction of all the fans, then damn it, you can stick around for 3 hours for the rest of the baseball
game. I agree. Steve Bortstein again joining us right now as we talk Major League Baseball. Let's move over and talk about the second half of the season, because it could potentially be wild. I think specifically here over the next few weeks, because one of the things that I am seeing, and we'll start with the National League, is I am seeing a large discrepancy in teams that can legitimately compete for the NLCS. Okay, I think in the West, we have three teams. And I wouldn't count the Padres or Giants out if they were to get to the playoffs, but that's three teams. I go to the Central, there's two teams. I go to the NL East, there's two teams, which means over half of the National League is pretty much out of this right now. I could buy the Phillies and the Mets making some moves and getting to the World Series. I can buy the Cubs and the Brewers. I can buy the Dodgers, Giants, and Padres. Everyone else, no. I don't buy at all, which really means there's a potential for, I don't want to use the word super team, but there is the potential for over half of the National League to be sellers over the next couple of weeks, and that's pretty fascinating.
It is fascinating. And, you know, Arizona looked like for a little bit like they were making a little bit of a run, and then they've fallen back down to earth. But isn't the most intriguing seller prospect right now, as far as who's in the market to sell off players, wouldn't you be the smartest GM in the world if you were going to try and poach the Atlanta Braves right now? I mean, the talent that they have and how beaten up some of it has been. But then you've got some really talented players in that organization, most of whom have contracts that are coming up for renewal in the next 12 to 24 months. You'd be crazy to at least just not make the phone call to find out the interest level of guys on that organization, just to see where they're at. They're 12 and a half games out of first place in the National League East. They're done. They made a little bit of a run where it looked like for a minute and a half they might have been a contender, but they've fallen apart. But the Braves and the Cardinals, I think you mentioned the Cubs and the Brewers being the two teams in the National League Central. You'd be crazy to at least just not make phone calls to those teams. And how is it possible that we talk about all these guys that are available, whatever, and no one's talking about the players in the Cincinnati Reds being available?
Yeah, because the Reds, I think, are actually on the brink of being a pretty good baseball team. I feel like we say this a lot. You know, I look at Atlanta. I go to their outfield right now. Michael Harris, Jurickson Profar. These are names that I think could definitely help a team put them over the top from being a competitive team to a contending team, I guess.
Yeah.
You look at their pitching staff, specifically in the bullpen as well. Rozel Iglesias, for all of his struggles, is still a top five or six closer in the National League. There's a place for him. When I look at the Cincinnati Reds, this is a very interesting couple of years for this team, because they have to pay Elly De La Cruz relatively soon, right? That's coming up. You take a look at their outfield, what they got. Friedel, they have Fraley, they have Gavin Lux, and Gavin Lux has actually been really good. But I'll tell you, another guy on the Cincinnati Reds roster that I think the Reds should probably consider moving on from, it's Matt McClain, because A, he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and B, finally with a clean bill of health, he's been terrible this year. I think there are a few guys that they're going to have to move on from, but doesn't this have the feel of a team that in the next year or maybe two could be really, really good?
They're either really good or they don't want to spend the money, because they know, like you said, they're going to have to open up the checkbooks on De La Cruz. I mean, that's a no-brainer. So how much does that guy's investment, how much does that impact the rest of that roster?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That's a great point. As far as the Cardinals go, Nolan Arenado, right? That's got to be the biggest name.
Absolutely. If you're the Reds, that contract to De La Cruz is $800 million. No, there's no, I mean, 750. There's no question of that.
Let's jump over to the American League, Steve, and we take a look at the, We take a look at the way things are shaping out there. Okay, in the AL East, we have four teams that are within striking distance of winning that division. You got the Blue Jays, Yankees, Red Sox, and Rays. The one team that I thought would be a player in that division is well out of it, and that's the Baltimore Orioles. The reason I bring up the Rays at 50 wins is because if we go to the Central, the Tigers are running away with the division, but the Twins and the Royals and the Guardians are only three games back of Tampa Bay, who has 50 wins. That's an important number because then we go to the West. Yes, you have the Astros in front, but you also have the Mariners at 51. You have the Rangers at 48. You have the Angels at 47. It's a logjam in the AL. That's not the case in the National League.
No, it's a logjam, and especially for that, for those all-important wild card spots. And, you know, we were talking about how, at this point, maybe Atlanta's the big seller option in the National League. You mentioned it a moment ago, Baltimore's got to be the big seller option in the American League. With the talent they have and just the disappointment of a season they've been having right now. Look, if you're Detroit, Minnesota, Kansas City, or Cleveland in the Central, one or two acquisitions puts you, you know, in the at least, if you're Minnesota, Kansas City, or Cleveland, at least, puts you in that wild card discussion. Maybe not, doesn't put you in the division chase, but at least it puts you in that wild card discussion. And if you're Seattle or Texas, and even the Angels, God help us, if you're those three teams, again, one player can make the difference there between a run and not a run. And how bad is it if you're the Angels? Once again, you're left asking those questions. Without injuries to Trout and Rendon, How much closer would the Angels be to the Astros or the Mariners right now if those two guys actually could stay healthy for a season?
Well, geez, and then you look back to last season. They're only four games out of the wild card right now. Wouldn't it be nice if you had that Shohei Ohtani guy, or at least something to show for losing Ohtani? You don't even have that. So you take on the injuries to Trout and Rendon, and then you look at the fact that a generational player got away and you got nothing in return, and you're only four games back out of the wild card. You've played competitive baseball. Stings to be an Angels fan right now.
I know, it's just ridiculous, but to your point, like, I agree with you about Tampa Bay also. Tampa Bay, you know, being in the fray right now, Boston, I mean, the run they've made, you know, they've won 10 in a row going into the All-Star break right now. Suddenly they find themselves back in the mix. They're getting healthy at the right time. Again, they're one player, one guy to replace, to fill in that spot in the lineup from Devers, and suddenly they're a contender for the American League pennant.
Isn't it fun, though, to talk about the Rays based off of everything that went down in the offseason? You know, we make a really big deal about the A's and their relocation to Sacramento, and I still don't believe they're going to Las Vegas, but that's a different topic for a different day. The A's have kind of stolen the spotlight with their relocation and where they're playing. We seem to forget that the Rays are playing in a spring training ballpark, and as it sits right now, they're 50-47.
Yeah. And they're doing it, you know, without some of the bigger names on their roster from years past. Noah Rosarena, you know, they're doing it with guys that we didn't expect to see in that position. So, it's been fun seeing them. I'm enjoying watching the Mariners run right now. I'm enjoying the Cal Raleigh thing. Loving the idea that a catcher is leading Major League Baseball in home runs right now and won the home run derby. That's a fun story there. There's some really good stories in the American League right now, not the least of which is Detroit. And, you know, I know at the beginning of the season we kind of laughed at it a little bit when the Dodgers opened the season with Detroit and we swept them. Like, we're the only team. The Dodgers are the only team this season that swept the Tigers. And if that holds up, okay, we'll see in October, I guess, because it's not the same Detroit team in April that it'll be in October, obviously. But that's an amazing story, what you're seeing in Detroit right now, because Scoobal is out of this world good, and that lineup is insanely good. And they're the only team in the American League Central that has a plus run differential with over 87. And they come out of the All-Star break on a four-game losing streak, no less.
And I think the other thing that's good for the Tigers, Scoobal has given up three hits in the opening inning only one time this year. You know when that was?
Against the Dodgers.
No, it was in the All-Star game.
Oh, that's right.
That is it.
Right,
think about that. Yeah. So if you're going to have one of those outings in what has been a dominant AL Cy Young, like, he could fall off, I think, over the next month, and he still wins the AL Cy Young. If you're going to have one of those bad outings, have it in the All-Star game.
Oh, absolutely. Have it there. And by the way, speaking of having bad performances in the All-Star game, I do want to point out that in the All-Star game, with the National League having a 6-run lead, you know, when it was going into the last couple of innings of the game, I do want to point out that for the National League, it was a Padres pitcher and a Mets pitcher and a Giants pitcher who gave up all the runs the American League in the seventh and ninth, and the seventh innings and ninth innings of that game.
Yeah, it was a shutout up until...
It was a shutout while we were involved in the game. When Kershaw came in and got the two batters out, and with everyone else, it was a shutout. But it was the Giants and the Mets and the Padres that blew it. So, as bad as the Dodgers bullpen has been all season long, I'm okay with that.
He is Steve Bornstein, always kind enough to take time out to join us. Steve, a pleasure to get you on the show. I know you are knee-deep right now with the Connie Mack World Series. Let's talk about what you have going on and where we can find more of your work.
The 12-team Connie Mack World Series gets underway a week from tomorrow here in Farmington, New Mexico. You can follow along with our national coverage of one of the most prestigious amateur baseball events in the country. You can follow it at Tri-City Record NM. That's Tri-City Record New Mexico, TriCityRecordNM.com, and check out the website there. We have all sorts of coverage. It's a pretty big event. We just had a player from our local neck of the woods. You'll appreciate this. We have a player from our city, Farmington, who got drafted by the Tampa Bay got drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays in the seventh round of the Major League Baseball draft. He becomes the first player drafted from this area since 2021. When I wrote about a kid I wrote about in 2021 who was drafted by, and I wrote it this way, drafted by the Anaheim Angels, because I will never refer to them as the Los Angeles Angels.
Call them the California Angels. We can even go back to that, right?
Exactly, because I'm petty and I don't like people. No. Jordan, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Always a pleasure. Steve Bornstein again taking out the time to join us. We do have more coming up. It's Drive Time Sports live from the Sutherland Studios.